Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to tackle something that affects all of us, how we get the stuff we need, our supply chains.
That's right. They're getting incredibly complex and, well, vulnerable too.
Exactly. And we're drawing on material from supply chains to really dig into this idea of supply chain resilience.
Mm-hmm. It's a crucial concept.
It really is. Basically, how these chains prepare for, adapt to, and bounce back from disruptions. Understanding this isn't just for businesses, it really helps make sense of the modern world, right? And ensures we can still get what we need.
Absolutely. And we might uncover some surprising aspects of what actually makes them resilient.
So let's start there. What exactly is supply chain resilience? Is it just like having a backup plan?
It's more than that. It's not just preventing disruptions, though that's part of it. Mm-hmm. It's also seeing risks, potentially, as opportunities, mm-hmm. maybe opportunities for growth or improvement down the line. The core definition, you could say, is the capacity of a supply chain to prepare itself for unexpected events, adapt to certain disruptions, and also recover fast, really fast, to get back to its normal service levels.
So it's proactive preparation, quick adaptation, and speedy recovery, not just damage control.
Precisely. It's about building a system that can, roll with the punches, like you said, and maybe even learn from them.
Okay, that makes sense. And why is this such a big deal right now? I mean, it feels like we hear about supply chain problems almost constantly.
Well, because disruptions are almost constant now,
mm-hmm.
or at least the potential is always there. Think about natural disasters, big economic shifts, pandemics. These things happen.
Right. They seem unavoidable sometimes.
Yeah, they often are. Mm-hmm. So a resilient supply chain acts like a proactive defense system. It's about spotting potential risks ahead of time, having strategies ready to lessen the blow if something does happen.
Allowing for that quick recovery you mentioned?
Exactly. It minimizes the impact. Think of it like designing a building in an earthquake zone. You build in flexibility and strength beforehand.
Okay, like a driver who knows the road might be bad, so they either take a different route or make sure they have, like, snow tires.
Perfect analogy. And resilience isn't just about planning for the known risks. It's also about being flexible when something totally unexpected happens.
Because no plan is perfect.
Right. So maybe you need to find alternative suppliers on the fly, or reroute shipments around a blocked port, or even, tweak how you make something to keep production going.
Wow, that sounds like it requires incredible agility. How does that help, say, businesses or even us as consumers?
Well, for you, the listener, it translates directly into reliability. Fewer delays, fewer times you go to the store and find an empty shelf.
Which definitely builds trust.
It builds trust and loyalty, absolutely. If you know you can consistently get what you need from a certain company or store, you'll likely stick with them.
Makes perfect sense. And I assume businesses see big financial upsides, too, beyond just keeping customers happy.
Oh, absolutely. Disruptions cost money, a lot of money. You've got lost sales, higher shipping costs if you have to expedite things, production slowdowns.
It all adds up.
It really does. So building resilience is basically a way to protect against those big financial hits. It helps companies get back to normal faster, which protects their bottom line.
Okay, so resilience is vital. Let's get into the nuts and bolts then. What actually makes a supply chain resilient, according to the material?
Our sources point to several key things. First up, and this is really fundamental, is diversified sourcing.
Meaning not relying on just one supplier?
Exactly. Or even just one geographic region. That creates a huge single point of failure. If that one supplier has a problem, or that one region has a natural disaster,
your whole chain could collapse.
Potentially, yes. So the idea is to spread your sourcing out. Use multiple suppliers. Have suppliers in different countries, but also maybe some domestic ones too.
Sort of hedging your bets geographically.
Right. It reduces the risk that any single event, whether it's a hurricane, a geopolitical issue, or just a specific supplier having financial trouble, can completely stop your flow of goods. And it also means actively assessing the risk level of each supplier you work with.
Okay, so diversification is crucial. Makes sense. Now, how do you actually move the goods effectively and adapt when things go wrong on the route?
That brings us to the second point, flexible logistic networks. Global supply chains are just inherently unpredictable. Things change fast.
So your shipping plans need to be able to change just as fast.
Precisely. You need flexibility built in. Think of it like having, multiple route options programmed into your GPS at all times.
Okay.
Flexible practices allow companies to quickly adjust logistics routes or even the methods they're using. Maybe shifting goods from a ship to air freight if there's an urgent need or port blockage.
Right. Or using different trucking companies, maybe.
or different ports or different delivery schedules. It's about having the ability, often through advanced network design, to reroute goods or change transport modes without, you know, completely sacrificing service quality.
That sounds incredibly complex to manage in real time. How do they possibly keep track of everything and make those quick decisions?
Well, that leads right into the third key element, strong IT systems. You really have to think of IT as the central nervous system here.
The brain of the operation.
Kind of, yeah. The ability to collect and evaluate huge amounts of data, big data, is critical. It helps forecast demand more accurately, but also potential risks. This leads to much more informed decisions.
And what kind of technologies are we talking about?
Well, things like blockchain can provide secure, transparent records, which builds trust. AI, artificial intelligence, and digital twins offer real-time analysis and predictive capabilities.
Okay, wait, digital twins. I've heard of that for, like, designing a jet engine, but for a whole supply chain. How does that work?
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Imagine creating a complete virtual copy of your entire supply chain.
Okay.
You can then use this digital twin to run simulations. What happens if, say, a major supplier goes offline or a key shipping lane gets blocked? You can test out different responses and strategies in the virtual world before it happens for real.
So you can game out scenarios and find the best plan B or C or D.
Exactly. It helps optimize inventory, predict shortages. It gives you immense visibility across the whole chain. These IT capabilities allow for those swift, informed decisions needed to counter disruptions and put proactive measures in place.
That visibility seems key. Now, we've sort of touched on risk throughout, but the sources specifically call out the role of risk management. How does that fit formally into this?
It's really the foundation. Risk management is the whole ongoing process of looking for potential threats. That can be anything from, you know, a potential shortage of a key raw material to the big global disruptions we talked about earlier.
So, constantly scanning the horizon.
Pretty much. Proactive risk assessments are vital. Identifying the potential problems. Then, once you've identified them, you develop mitigation plans.
Which might include things we've already discussed.
Yes, like diversifying your suppliers, or maybe investing in safety stock, keeping a buffer of essential items on hand.
An emergency stash, basically.
Right. And again, this is where technology like digital twins and AI really helps. They can support that long-term resilience by helping predict those potential disruptions way out in advance and refining your response plans over time.
So it's not just reacting, but really trying to see the future, or at least the possible futures, and preparing.
Exactly. And speaking of tech, the material we reviewed highlights some specific technological innovations that are really enhancing resilience. We mentioned AI.
Right, for predicting things and optimizing responses. What about the Internet of Things, IoT, all those connected devices?
IoT plays a big role in real-time visibility. Think about sensors on containers or on the products themselves.
Tracking things as they move.
Exactly. Tracking raw materials, tracking finished goods. This improves the efficiency of the network and makes it much more responsive. If something goes wrong, you know immediately where it is.
Okay.
Plus, you can use sensors to monitor conditions. Imagine sensitive goods, like certain foods or pharmaceuticals, that need to be kept at a specific temperature. Sensors track that constantly, reducing the risk of spoilage during transport or storage.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense for delicate items. And then there's blockchain. We hear about it for crypto, but how does it apply here?
Blockchain's big advantage in supply chains is creating trust and security. It provides a transparent, uneditable record of transactions.
Like a shared tamper-proof ledger?
Precisely. This boosts economic security among all the trading partners. It helps secure supplier contracts, makes the exchange of goods and information smoother and more dependable. It's really about strengthening that risk management piece.
Interesting. And you mentioned cloud computing, digital twins, advanced analytics earlier too. They all sort of work together.
They really do. They provide the infrastructure, the data processing power, and the insights needed to make all this resilience work effectively.
Now, this all sounds great on paper, you know, a super resilient system. But what are the real-world challenges in actually building one of these? It can't be easy.
No, it's definitely not. There are some major hurdles. One of the biggest is simply balancing cost versus resilience.
Ah, the money question.
Always. Implementing resilience strategies often costs more upfront. Having multiple suppliers might mean you lose some volume discounts. Investing in cutting-edge IT isn't cheap.
But disruptions are expensive, too.
Exactly. Disruptions hit your profitability hard. So companies constantly face this tough calculation. How much do we invest in resilience now to potentially avoid much bigger costs later? It's a tricky balance.
A difficult strategic bet, really. What else makes it challenging?
Just the sheer complexity of it all. Managing risk across that entire ecosystem. You've got manufacturers, suppliers, sub-suppliers, distributors, logistics providers, often spanning multiple countries.
So many moving parts.
So many. And each part, each connection, introduces potential vulnerabilities. Different economic conditions in different countries, geopolitical tensions flaring up, unexpected port closures, trucker strikes. It's a massive interconnected web.
Like trying to conduct a global orchestra where any player might suddenly walk off stage?
That's a good way to put it. And then, layered on top of all that, are regulatory needs.
Ah, rules and regulations.
Right. Environmental regulations change, trade policies shift, new industry standards come into play. These can all disrupt established ways of operating.
So you constantly have to adapt just to stay compliant, let alone efficient.
Exactly. Keeping up with all these different evolving requirements across different regions just adds another layer of complexity.
Wow. Okay, so given all those challenges, it sounds like having really elevated risk management capabilities isn't just a nice to have, it's essential for survival today.
Absolutely essential. That's a key takeaway from the source material. Understanding resilience, implementing it, it's critical in this complex global economy we're in.
And it has to be tied into the overall business strategy.
Yes, very tightly.
Yeah.
You need to align your supply chain strategy with your broader business objectives.
Yeah.
That helps prioritize where you make those resilience investments and how you manage the risks most effectively.
Makes sense.
Ultimately, the point is that by adopting these kinds of strategies, the diversification, the flexibility, the IT, the risk-focused businesses can not only, you know, survive disruptions.
They can actually thrive.
They can position themselves to potentially thrive, yes, to come out stronger.
So wrapping this up after our deep dive into supply chains, it's clear building resilience is a huge effort. It's about mixing strategies, diverse sources, agile logistics, smart tech, constant risk awareness.
And embracing those new innovations we talked about, like AI and IoT.
Right. It's not just about patching holes. It's about fundamentally designing a system that's built for, well, uncertainty, built for almost any kind of road ahead.
That sums it up nicely.
Yeah.
And it really underscores the immense effort that goes into making sure we can all get the things we rely on every day.
It really does. It leaves you wondering, doesn't it? As you go about your day, maybe looking at the businesses you interact with or the products on the shelves, what subtle signs might tell you how resilient their supply chains really are?
That's a fascinating question to ponder.
Definitely food for thought. If you want more detail on this, be sure to check out the source material, Supply Chains. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.